rolling.
All right. Sunday Sit Down, episode...
Six.
Perfect.
Episode six, we got it right this time, people.
Sponsored by, but not really, 3D energy drinks.
Why do you always slam that shit on the freaking desk, sorry, bro?
You guys want to open the same time? Make it? Three, two... Oh, oh shit!
That was cute as fuck.
That's gonna be like the that'll be like the preview video.
Oh, if you guys are wondering who, if you guys are wondering who the third voice is, we got the boy Fidel, you know, the boy Foodie, aka Big Food.
What's your last name?
AKA Wagon, huh? AKA Dump Truck, AKA Dumpy Wumpy, AKA
Local Legend.
If you guys don't know about Foodie, we've talked about him multiple times. You know, we talked about him on the podcast with when we had Jake here. We talked about him like multiple times. This is a 19-year-old that basically tells everybody how to lift and acts like he's the big dog around it.
He do. So, Foodie, I guess we'll kind of kick us off too. Tell us about yourself.
So, I was really big on basketball freshman and sophomore year. But it kind of like when I transferred from Sand to Atlantic Coast, like I just for some reason I didn't want to play basketball anymore for Atlantic Coast. And so, like, there was, like, a solid 6 months where I was doing absolutely nothing. Like, I wasn't playing basketball. I wasn't doing anything. And I got fat. Like, not fat. I was skinny. You guys seen the video. I was skinny.
Like, skinny fat.
Yeah, I was skinny fat. Like, I didn't like how I looked.
The worst,
like,
kind of fat.
Yeah, the absolute worst. And then, so I had a membership at the Y. And my sister actually powerlifted.
Really?
Yeah, she's I think she's done like 3 meets.
Oh,
like,
wow.
USAPL meets, yeah. But like this was like way back. Like she doesn't do anymore, but this was like I think like 2015, 2016. And I always used to see her, and in my head, I promise you, I was like, "What the fuck is the point of this shit?"
I can imagine you saying that too.
I was like, "Why are you just gonna deadlift as much?" Just like I was like, "What the fuck is the point of this?" And then one of her friends. Austin, you know him?
Awesome. Yeah.
So he kind of got me into it. Like he like told me that he was like, you have to even if you don't want to become a powerlifter, you should squat, bench, and deadlift.
Yeah, of course.
Like, compound lifts.
Because like I used to go to the gym and I never used to do squat, bench, deadlift because I was like, this is gonna like I'm too scared. I'm gonna injure myself like everyone else. And so he taught me how to squat, bench, and deadlift. And then I started following like Jeff Nippert programs. And then I got a membership at Flex.
Stop hitting the table, please.
Yeah, please stop banging on the table.
I got a membership at Flex, and at Flex, there's powerlifting was very, like, common there at the time. So, like, I decided to try it. Austin gave me, like, a couple programs to run, like Candido 6 week. He gave me, like, Barbell Medicine 7 week, like, hypertrophy strength programs. Mm-hmm. And
those
then,
damn birds, dude.
Yeah, tell them to shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Trying to film a video. All right, sorry, go ahead, bro.
And then afterwards I got bored, and then he hit me up like with the coach and
that's like nature for you right there.
And
beautiful.
Then and then I got programmed with Ryan
like, who
Loveridge.
Oh, okay, sure.
Oh, I didn't know you were
there. I didn't
know. It was right before Mikey.
Okay, makes sense.
So I was with him for like, I'd say like 12, 15 weeks. Then Mikey hit me back, and I've been working with him ever since.
Nice. And Mikey, for they don't know, is you want to explain who Mikey is, like who he coached under and all that stuff.
Mikey, his name is Michael Davis. He's a he's an athlete under Joey Flex. He also coaches for Joey Flex, and
he's in the 105 kg weight class, right?
Yeah.
Big trouble.
He's my competition.
I think he at Raw National.
He was your competition.
He's Jake's competition.
He was yours.
Well, yeah, he's an open. Isn't
Jake like one over him or one under him?
I think he's one over him. I think Cayman's one over Jake.
They're all super close, bro. It's
I think it goes like Cayman, Jake, and then Mikey.
There's somebody above Cayman. Cayman's not number one.
No, I'm just saying like in that group. No, Cayman's not number one. Number one is Aston Ruska.
Yeah,
but I'm saying like in the order. I think
not really. I mean, Bryce Lewis.
Bryce is about to take that ass.
Yeah, I'm saying as of today, number one is Aston Ruska, and then if you go down, I think Cayman's like 5, Jake's 6, and Mikey's 7.
Yeah,
or
there's a few.
Or one down. One of the it's in that range.
They're all like within like they're 20 or 30 10. Pounds of each other.
They're yeah. definitely 105 is definitely the most competitive.
It's hit or miss. You miss one attempt, you're over.
It's
you
know? So fun though.
It's yeah. definitely the most competitive. Like yeah. I wasn't even watching Raw Nationals live. Like I was watching it through my phone, and like I was like, oh my god, what's gonna happen next? Yeah. Because like Ashton was gonna pull for the win, he missed it, and if he got that, Mikey would have placed I think like fifth.
I heard Joey Flex talking about that.
Yeah, on he would have. Yeah. He would have placed fifth, and Amendola Jake. Amendola. Yeah. Jake would have placed above Mikey, but then because of Ashton missing his final attempt, like I think like Mikey wanted to pull 804, but he pulled 794 just to get the. And as soon as he pulled that secured second place. Yeah. So like he literally just from Ashton missing that pull, he went from fifth place. To second place.
Holy shit.
Which yeah, is I mean, fucking nuts.
Dude, yeah. like 105 kg, like, it's literally, like, if you gotta be perfect. Like, and the thing is, if you mess up, someone else is gonna come up and take your spot.
And the thing is, like, it's still growing. Like, yeah. came in battle. Yeah. Like, he literally came out of nowhere. Like,
that's such a good weight class, too.
And Brandon Dudley.
yeah.
Bam.
But, 120.
it's the Black Adam podcast.
But that's such like a stacked weight class. So it's like most of the people that come in, like, I know, like, you and, like, Cayman, too, I assume Cayman did sports, right? They all because most of the people that come to like the 105 and that like 230 range, they all come with like some kind of athletic background, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
so they're already like naturally like gifted.
I see. I don't know what Cayman did. I don't know if he's originally from Miami because I'm from Miami. If you guys don't know, I'm from Miami. It's where I grew up.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's from. I know. I think he's from the islands, but I don't think he grew up in Miami because I haven't heard of him.
Because he knows Jose, and I assumed like I don't know they played sports or something together too.
Dude, Jose knows everybody. He talks to everybody though.
That's true. He's very social. Shout out Jose.
Get him on the podcast.
Who came in the Jose?
They're in Miami, bro.
I mean, I'm still getting them. We can work on that. I mean, it wouldn't be that much hard of a task, yeah. I guess.
But that's cool too because like I know like the 105 is so competitive. When you see Jake talk about it, Jake normally doesn't even like. Oh, he just got back into posting like social media stuff too. But usually, he won't really put, like, his numbers he's hitting, too, because he knows it's so close
yeah.
that he puts, like, a max effort squat around, like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to watch and try to beat him when it comes time, you know what I'm saying? So he really tries, like, you see his videos, he doesn't really say the numbers. He kind of just leaves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't think Jake knows how to work his phone.
I don't think so. That might be it, too.
That man has an iPod touch. Bro, that shit belongs in a fucking museum.
Bro, you know, so the funniest thing ever is watching Jake walk in on a Saturday. He has his Ray-Bans on.
Brand new SBD
swagged out with his bar on his back. With his bar on his back, puts it up, and he brings out his iPod touch, which is just straight metal. His iPod from, like, 2006. And he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to put this
metal.
In there.
The metal. Sale. Dude, yeah, I put that shot yesterday, and I was—I guess I'll tell the joke to them. They don't think it's funny too. Jake came in; he's a big metal fan. He was like, "Hey, man, can you put some metal on? Wait for my John to charge."
J-A-W-N.
John, and I was like, "All right, man, I got you." So the first metal song I put on was "Sale." But was it AWOL like Nation?
It's not even metal.
I thought it was metal. And I was like, "Sale!" And Spoonie was like, "Sale!"
That's like saying put on metal and putting on Fallout Boy.
Well, I put on Godsmack next, which is kind of probably like closer to metal, right?
If you're 45.
Yeah. I understand some of the words, so that's all I know.
The reason
like,
he keeps looking at me is because I'm also a metal fan.
Yeah, sorry, you guys can't see him. I'm looking at Hunter in the corner, but they're both big metal fans.
Very handsome guy. We can describe
very
him.
Very handsome.
Has a nice 5 o'clock shadow right now. Nice haircut.
Yeah.
He's very relaxed right now. He always wears sunglasses.
He's always relaxed.
Very chill guy.
Just straight vibes.
He's the man behind the sound and
definition
everything.
Of vibes.
He's like isn't you like the Jamie if like we were on Joe Rogan, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I pick the vibes. Saying? I see yes. Hunter yeah. in that right position, just one leg over the other. Just run when we sit at the meet everywhere.
Bring us on the chairs.
I hope Bob Evans is there, dude.
Bob Evans, the deadlift guy? The one who fell? Yeah. Oh, sorry, Bob Evans. I didn't mean to say that.
Hey, shout out to the boy Bob, bro. Isn't he at 73?
Bro, it was dude. So funny, him talking to Jake and Jake. And his earphones, and I could hear Jake's music.
Okay, not how loud it was. No,
but he was
okay.
still talking
okay.
to Jake.
So,
dude, he's like, yeah, buddy, yeah. Yeah, man.
Bro, I don't remember if we talked about this with Jake on the podcast. So, if you guys don't know, so the meet that Jake and I did, there was a 73-year-old guy. His name was Bob. He was a super nice guy. Like, he was just super excited to be there around other guys.
Shut the fuck up.
So, but the thing is, When he's powered and thing, he was just like, he even explained it to me. He was just happy to be around other people, like lifting and still doing it.
He was talking to everybody, even Cleo's angry ass.
Like he was talking to everybody, but like Jake was trying to go for a world record attempt, had his earphones in, and I swear you hear the dun 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 playing through them, like playing through his earphones, and Bob Evans is just talking to him. But so from Jake's point of view, all you see is him mouthing words, and Jake's just like looking at him, he's like, I can't hear you. And Bob's like, yeah, so how's your day? And Jake's like, I still can't hear you, dude. So that's basically how that went through. But super nice guy. Shout out to the boy Bob. I mean, he's 73 years old and still lifting it. Yeah. I mean,
he pulled that max, last one he did, he pulled that shit to like, that was a max out effort right there.
Yeah, max effort. I mean, he fell, he rolled. But I mean, he did his best. But
it's crazy though. 73 years old.
Well, this kid there was at 13 too. We talked about the podcast. It was such crazy, like.
Yeah, he pulled like 402.
That's a strong 13 year old.
I pulled that like 2 weeks ago.
He pulled more foodie, bro. Kid 13, but it was bro, he was a big old boy though. Yeah. He ate his.
What was he, 105?
Yeah. He was 105
kids. He was 105?
He was either 93 or 105.
Holy.
He was really?
Yeah. Bro, yeah.
He was short, too. And he was
big ass 13 year old.
Bro, he was 13 year old. He's competing with me, bro.
He was thick.
Dude, imagine. imagine you go first. 1800, bro. Imagine you're 13, you go first, and the next guy comes up, hits 782 on deadlift. Dude, I'll just fucking quit. It's Brandon's big ass linebacker built, having ass. Come there, just pull 700 pounds.
Like, oh, so I'm a linebacker going black.
No,
you're a linebacker.
Wow,
I was
gonna
say safety, but.
Anyway, right. don't do that.
Anyway, back to foodie lifts.
Back
to foodie lifts.
It's big and strong.
When's your next meet, and like, what are you looking forward to?
What's your first meet, actually?
Yeah, it's my first meet.
That's true. Let's talk about that. Haven't you signed up for like two other meets?
I signed up for like, I think
this is the worst year for everything.
I think I signed up for like six. Five,
six meets five? This year.
No, because I won. My first meet that I signed up for was in January of 2020. That got canceled. Actually, that didn't get canceled. I just couldn't go because, like, the guy I was competing with, like, decided not to do it. So I couldn't do it. And then I rescheduled it to, like, May. That got canceled. That got rescheduled to, like, June or July. Canceled. Then, like, September, August, late September, it was, like, regionals. I don't know why, but at that point, I was just like, fuck it, I don't want to compete anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to wait till 2021. And I found a meet in here in Jacksonville, and I'm scheduled to compete on February 20th with Garrett.
And Adam. I think there's a few girls doing it, too. There's going to be a whole fucking
squad there.
Yeah. If that gets canceled, bro, I might quit.
Dude, yeah.
I might fucking quit.
I think I kind of want to get in that story. Were you there the first day we met Foodie? I don't know if you were.
The first day we met Foodie.
When he was there at
the pit. Yeah, I was there.
It was just you. It was you two and Ashton.
And Jake, because Jake was there.
No, Jake wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Jake wasn't with John.
Me and Jake were sitting side by side. That's the first day I met you. Because Jake was like, I want to tell the story about the good luck down there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was the second time.
That was the first time I met you. That was the first time I met you.
The first time I met you, Jake wasn't there.
So then the first time I met you.
You weren't there the first time I met you.
All right, can I tell the story?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, so. Bro. Dude, come on, bro.
Bro, it don't smell, bro. That one don't smell.
I smell it. All right, so the first day I met Foodie.
I can taste it.
So I'm there with.
All right, continue.
Dude. All right, I'm at the pit. First day with Foodie. Oh, no. The Ashton, Jake, Hunter. I think somebody else, too. But I come in. I see this guy named Foodie. He brings his own bar. So my first instinct was he brings his own bar. I kind of don't like him, you know. I was like, why would he bring his own bar?
What the fuck would you?
I don't know. I just had this preconceived idea.
Just for that, I'll never let you use my bar.
Dude, chill out, bro. I like you now.
Continue.
But he came in, too, and he was, like, benching. And, I think he was so used to self handoffs. All right, sorry, you squatted first too.
I did 370 for three.
Dude, all right. So he was so used to self handoffs too. He didn't ask for handoff. And then Jake offered him. He's like, hey man, do you want a handoff before you go? Do you want a handoff? And Foodie's like, nah, I got it. So then me and Jake sat down right behind the bench. And Jake was like, he looked over. He was like, good luck, buddy. No. He's like, good luck down there. and he unragged it, and he came down, and he came up, he clipped the rag, and it fell. He was like, take it.
I saw the worst part was the video.
Oh, dude, and me and Jake didn't even move.
Bro, literally, that was the worst part of the video, because I went back and looked at the video. When I was screaming, take it, Jake and Gary, they didn't fucking flinch. They're just like, and then Ashton just comes over and picks it up, and then I get up, and they're all just laughing.
Dude, that was the funniest shit I've ever seen.
The funniest thing ever is that, so if you guys seen Jake, I always think, every time I read Jake's text messages, I read it in his voice. Every time we tell a story about Jake, I just hear it in his voice. So I can see him saying, hey, good luck down there, buddy. Sitting there with his FBD shirt on and just looking wide as shit.
I looked over at him because we were like side by side. Like I was sitting in the calf machine, he was in the leg press. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are we good? Like, is he good? He's like, yeah, he's fine. And he wasn't okay. And I was like, I don't know this kid. I'm not going to get up and help him.
But didn't Jake already know Foodie from like a while?
Yeah, I knew Jake from Flex.
Yeah.
He worked at Flex before.
Bro, dude, I wish I was there.
That shit was so...
I wish I was there, bro.
Fucking funny. I don't know why it was so funny.
What, bro? Because I met Foodie later on because I guess I'm the new addition to the crew. Would you say I'm a new addition to the pit crew, I guess?
No, it's definitely me.
You got accepted before I did.
But I met everybody later though.
No, it's definitely me though.
No, but you already knew Jake and Ashton.
Yeah, you kind of.
The only people I knew was Jake, Ashton, and Shane.
But well, I came in late June ish, mm-hmm. and that's when I met everybody. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had to go through my initiation.
But you were close with them.
Yeah, well, you were close to the Ashton. Huh? What?
That's true.
Oh yeah, that is true.
I guess I got close to them first.
And I'm gonna say the other name, but you're close to somebody else there. The IOU guy.
The man speaks in vowels.
Your voice.
Bro, oh, okay.
You gonna tell a story?
I'm gonna tell, bro.
You gotta crop that out.
I don't care. I'm sorry to all body, but like. I don't know. So. us powerlifters, we always. We always like to joke around about bodybuilders and stuff, like with like, grunts and everything. Bro, the funniest thing ever.
Amazing.
No, everyone's great. There's the funniest thing ever. This is one guy that we watched lift, and I swear.
Nice guy. He's a cool guy.
No, great guy. But like when he lifts, I feel like every single rep, this man is saying either the alphabet or the vowels. Dude, like you be seeing home. We see your homeboy doing rows, and he's just like, A-E-I-O-U, and sometimes Y. It's just like...
Oh, fuck.
Bro, and I've never seen so many people just grunt and scream per rep.
Bro, you squatted...
Than bodybuilders.
You squatted 700 pounds, and you didn't make, like, you made, like, one sound.
Like, bro, I'll fart before I grunt, bro.
It's like, I remember when Jamal Browner pulled, like, 1,005 in his gym.
He was like, I couldn't even scream.
He was trying to scream at the top of his rep. He's like, I don't know how y'all fucking scream. I can't do anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, my thing is, if you're able to scream and you're able to talk, you're not putting enough effort.
Well, then you got
to
shout out Christian Strength.
Oh.
Hey, cut that out.
Oh.
Hey, he listens to the podcast.
Oh, so he's fair.
Hey, that's my homeboy, bro.
Hey. Hey, you fucked up.
Shout out to the boy.
Shout out.
Shout out to
you
fucked up already.
Say what you mean, bro.
No,
all right, listen. Let's make it clear. So,
can we talk about we see powerlifters breathing stuff. We have the
Valsalva maneuver. I just said shout out because he screams a lot.
He do scream. I've seen the videos.
Like, I mean, rep though. Like if you're actually bracing and you're actually breathing the way you're supposed to be breathing, there's no way you should be able to do a full.
Let's go. In my opinion, very controversial. If it's like, if your set is like an RP,
I'm dead ass. Can you cut that out?
Christian, you're fine, bro. You're fine.
No.
Yeah, we'll cut it out. We'll cut it out. You know. All right. So make. All right. Quick pause. All right. We're going back. So I feel like controversially, if your set's like an RP 7 or below, I don't think you have the right to scream. That's no matter the weight, but like, you know what I'm saying.
But some people, you need to realize, some people
are built different.
Yeah, and they probably need to get hype. Even for
RP6?
RP6,
yeah. RP6 should be like very like.
No, but I kind of get it, but personally I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, personally I wouldn't either.
That shit gets me mad.
You mad now?
Bro, I'd be mad as hell. Because
Wait, so are you actually gonna cut that flower?
Bro, Foodie, chill. We got you, bro.
Chill.
My biggest thing, like, I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody or anything. I mean,
no shade at all.
I mean, whatever you do, work. Cause me, dude, like, I have videos of me screaming and stuff, but usually it's like after a heavy.
It's grab. Like an RP, like it's RP like 9 or above, you know.
Yeah,
it's like very like to the balls, the wall.
My thing is, there should be there's like a rubric to whether you scream or not. If you have something that's scheduled like an RP of 7, RP of 8, and it moves at RP of 6, and you're hype, do you, bro? But if you have a scheduled RP of 6. And you scream,
yeah.
Like it was supposed to be easy. Like you're not supposed to be getting hyped. Like
it should be.
I understand that some people like they need to get hyped to make a move to make a weight.
Is that healthy though? Do you need to be hyped for every single set?
But if we actually go and actually,
everyone's different.
But my thing is,
like,
I think because like we're like,
yeah,
we know the body. And it's like that's. I feel like that's just a waste of energy.
Let me back up too. I think
might be a waste of energy for us, but
stop.
Not for
hold
them.
On. Back up.
It's
I think there's
cardiovascular system, guy.
Huh?
It's a cardiovascular system. It's an energy expenditure.
Hey, I think there's two different things there too. I think it's okay. I'll give you that. I think it's depending on the individual, but the problem where it kind of makes me mad now is is when you see people screaming just for the sole fact of social media clout.
Oh,
yeah,
clout
that's
pisses me off.
Because like it's one thing like if like I don't care the way you do, like if you're happy you're moving it fast and you're happy you want to scream whatever.
Bro,
but when you do it just for a higher engagement for clout, that's when I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of annoyed now,
yeah.
You know?
Like, bro, clout screaming is the word. Like, dude, get hype all you want. Lift all you want. Like, bro, I encourage you guys to go out there. I encourage you to be excited when you lift. I encourage you to be happy that you're getting lifted. I encourage you to scream and have fun. Now, I'm not saying be a quiet-ass lifter.
No, not at all.
But if you have to think about how you're going to scream before you scream,
I'll probably get more.
If you walk up to a set, be like, hey, yo, I'm about to scream. This shit about to be crazy.
Yeah.
And then you go, hey, press record. Like, why?
Yeah, I know who you're thinking of, too. I know.
Like, that shit pisses me. Like,
but there are, like...
Cause my thing is, it's like, if it's planned out, if it's not out of... If it's not out of sheer, pure excitement and, like, just... Like being happy to lift, being happy you're getting the weight, just enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it for a like, or you're just doing it for someone to be like, hey, yo, you hype as fuck.
Yeah.
And it's like you're not, like, you're just doing that for clout. Like, it's just, it really shows your character because that means that you're training. That means you're not focused enough on your training. If you're thinking that much into, oh, this is going to get a lot of likes because I'm about to scream my ass off.
But you can't assume someone else's intention.
You can't. That's true.
You can't just go look at someone and be like, oh, yeah, he's definitely screaming.
But no, hold on. Back up. I think the point you said really good, like, if you're naturally, like, a screamer and you like to get excited, like, whatever, too. But it's when you plan it. Like, if you plan, like, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to post this exact clip, that's when it's like, you know what? Like, you're just not naturally like that way. You're just trying to act a certain way for the camera, too.
Like, Isaac, he's definitely natural.
Isaac's cool because, you know,
definitely.
He just does what he wants to.
So I'm going to name, like, some names.
Name dropping.
Name drop so you see like these people. So like someone like Aston Ruska, not a screamer. He has a little fist pump. Like that's his thing. Like he has a thing. Isaac Whistler,
he screams.
He's a screamer. That's his natural. That's like he's always done that. That's his personality. I don't know him personally, but if you watch his videos, you watch his Instagram story and stuff.
Bro, he will literally scream at anything.
Like that's,
and it'll be cold, and he'll be like, it's fucking cold!
Like that. That's naturally him. That's your natural personality. Great, go for it. But if you have to try to be like that, like, you could be a quiet lifter. I mean, Jamal Brown picks up weight. He picks up 1,000 pounds, puts it back down, and doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
Aston Ruska has a fist pump. Isaac Whistler screams. If you stick to your personality, don't try so hard to be
someone else.
Yeah. Be yourself. Like, me, naturally...
Like, I'm calm.
Garrett's a very calm guy. Like, he hits 600 pounds. Whatever, he does his thing, then that's cool. Like, hey, where are we going? Like, whatever.
Yeah, okay,
that's his thing.
Shit.
Me, I'm very... It depends on the weight. If I get a weight that I wanted to get, and I've been trying to get it for a while, I'm going to scream. You ever see my videos, I scream. I get excited because I'm a hype lifter. Like, that's just what I do. There's people that are just do different things. But if you have to go out of your way to try to be like someone, because you're like, oh, well, this guy is hype and he has this many followers, so I'm gonna start screaming. But then it just looks awkward as shit.
Yeah.
Like if you do a lift, wait 3 seconds, but oh shit, I'm supposed to scream, and then scream. It's like, come on now.
Anytime I hit a weight, I'm just like, damn, that shit was heavy as fuck. I'm not going up.
Damn, 135 AM move like that.
But yeah, I mean,
275 yesterday.
So I guess to put that in summary, be yourself. Like, don't try so fucking hard, dude.
Like, and I feel like that is, like, that's, like, the main way you probably grow.
Oh, 100% too.
Yeah. Because no one's going to want to follow, like, an off-brand version of someone else. They're going to obviously want to watch the actual person.
Nobody wants to follow Diet Rest Wolf.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't want to follow, like Russ...
Like, Russ, you're gonna follow Russ.
Yeah, Russ is...
Because that's Russ.
He has that swag. He has his thing. Like, that's his shit. Like, he's gonna fucking do his thing. But if it's obvious that you're trying to be like Russ, like, bro, we don't want the off-brand shit. We don't want Fruityos. We don't want Fruit Loops, nigga. Like,
yeah, that's a good comparison, too.
Like, come on, bro. Like, I mean...
I don't want Mountain Splash on Mountain Dew, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, excuse my language. I'm sorry. But it's just... That's just how it is.
Are we not allowed to cuss?
No.
No, say what you want.
I said...
He said, excuse my language.
Well, he's.
I said a racial slur, but
what?
Don't worry about it. Anyway,
aren't you allowed to say it?
We're not getting into that conversation. Anyways,
we didn't say it. You said it. You're okay.
Shut up. Anyways, be original.
It'll I think you you're qualified.
If you're original, you trust the process and just do your like, do you stay consistent?
Yeah.
If you want followers, you'll get followers. If you want engagement, you'll get engagement because people respect your hustle. They respect you doing you.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you're trying to piggyback off someone else's success,
you're not gonna grow.
Yeah, like if you watch someone on YouTube, oh, they're doing that, so I'm gonna start twerking. Like, bro, if you go,
who the fuck looks?
No, because people that like they'll see someone like, oh, he listen to Meg, I'm gonna listen to Meg, or he do that, I'm gonna do that. Like,
well,
he's acting like people are copying.
You do. It's like, are people twerking to Meg now? What?
That's what I do.
I do twerk to Meg.
I do be twerking to Meg. But no, but I'm just saying, like, be yourself. I mean, I'm always funny.
Yeah.
You can find a video of me on YouTube.
I'm
dancing.
Yeah, yeah. I
but there's a difference between like being like copying somebody and being inspired kind of by what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
That's a whole different topic too.
But that's an obvious difference.
Like, obvious
like,
difference.
You can see, like, you can see that straight up and be like, oh, like. Like he's copying him, or he's just like okay. Like he looks up to this guy. Like
yeah,
like you could because I look up to a lot of different lifters. I do
too.
Like I respect how people carry themselves. Like I was talking about Chris Bridgeford, the way he carries himself. I respect lifters. I respect what
he
they do.
Like yesterday,
he did pretty well. Yeah.
What'd he get?
He told him 1988.
Oh shit! Yeah. Probably easy too. I thought he's totaled 2K before.
He like I don't know what exactly his deadlift was, but he got it, but it dropped because of.
But yeah, he's probably like trying to still be kind of cautious on the knee too.
Yeah.
That's a strong man right there.
That's a beautiful
bro.
One day we'll have to get him on the platform on the podcast. Man,
that's a beautiful.
That'll be phenomenal.
That will. You'll be having like a fangirl moment
all
the time.
Oh my gosh.
Brandon's gonna have his orgasm.
I'll throw up happiness. I'll have a bucket next to me.
Hey Chris,
up.
Do you want to send a Meg Stallion with me?
You want to twerk to Meg Stallion with me?
Twerk.
Speaking, see, going to personalities, you can tell Chris Bridgeford don't twerk to Meg Stallion.
Well, you don't know.
I could probably get Russ to talk with me, though.
Speaking of Russ, I, like, when talking about, like, being inspired or copying, whenever he has, like, whenever he puts, like, his music on the story, I always check it out, and I always get inspired by it, and I always, like, post it to mine. But I'm not copying him. I'm just inspired by the music. Because he just has some good music takes.
Movie recording has been
stopped. Has been stopped. Okay, that's stupid.
Just press the back button twice.
Wait, is it pause?
Press the record button again.
Is this...
No. We keep talking.
No, it stopped like right as it probably stopped like y'all were talking about Russ.
Alright. But yeah, I mean, yeah, just be
you, dude.
All in all, be original, be you, do you. Don't try to be someone else because that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. That's a big thing. Everything I've heard from like people like when they come talk about like either like building a brand, building like a business. Can I finish my sentence before you interrupt me?
I wasn't even going to fucking interrupt you.
I feel like you were.
No, I just was.
Oh, okay, cool. But the main thing is too, like, just be you, be original too, because people are gonna follow based on your own continent. They don't want to see, how'd you say it, Diet Russell.
Yeah, they don't want. Like, I DM'd if you had another podcast, like Massonomics, like they have their own like clothing brand. They have a great podcast. Like they did podcast about nothing, and they literally talk like a lot of followers. I DM'd them. They're super cool. They reply back to me, just asking questions about the podcast, and literally all they said was be original and be consistent. And if people like you, they'll go to you. Like, don't try to be someone else. I'm not going to call here and be like, Sunday sit down, the podcast about nothing. No.
This also, like, relates to lifting. Some people, like, I know I had this issue where, like, some people, like, will look at someone in their weight class, like, hit something fat and then expect to go inside the gym and hit that too.
That's true.
Like, they want to just, like, copy someone else. And, like, this guy's progressing at this rate.
I should be able to do the same, and that always comes and bites you in the ass.
That is true. And have you done it before? That's like something we talked about.
I've done it before.
I mean, we talked about that briefly in our, like, even in our last podcast, like, how, like, social media has a huge impact on people, and, like, we talk about ego, and it's like, like, our look.
And it messes with your head, too.
It does.
Yeah.
It messes with your head a lot, because you're like, this guy's in my weight class or whatever, this guy's my age, he's progressing like that, why am I not progressing like this?
Yeah.
I mean, even me, if you saw my, remember my squat PR, the 675 guy in the gym.
Yeah.
I mean, the day before that, I saw someone in the 105 kg weight class squat 705, and I was like, I want to squat 705, and it's like that's just, I mean, it's natural competitiveness, but at the same time, it can bite you in the ass if you don't.
No, it will. It will. Yeah. Like you literally.
If you don't have to focus on yourself. Yeah, bro. You got to do you.
Like my coach, like I feel like he's like the perfect example, and Jake, like. They literally couldn't give a fuck about social media. Like
that's
Jake
true.
Doesn't even fucking post. Like he literally does not. He couldn't care less because all his lifts. Like he just wants to be, like the best on platform. Like he doesn't care about deadlifting like 900 or like 800 in the gym. Like I'm talking about my coach. He doesn't care about deadlifting 800 in the gym. Like he'd rather just like stay in the pocket in the gym and. Excel on meat day.
And if we're talking about like just staying in the pocket and stuff, a big factor of that is the ego. People you surround yourself with. Like one of the topics I want to talk about today was
my 275 squat yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. So I will introduce the topic. So the topic is basically having good training partners and having a good coach, like the importance of it. So now since I said that, so Foodie had. Was it a triple?
No, it was four.
Okay, so he had a 3x4.
4x4.
A 4x4 at an RP of 8?
7 to 8.
High bar.
So, Foodie walks up to me. I've never been so mad in my life. Foodie walks up to me and shows me. I know he can squat. He showed me a video of him doing 275 for 4. And he goes, "Ayo, this looks like an RP of 7 to you. But I swear, there was no sticking point. There was no, like, he did not slow down. It looked like a straight up warm up. I said, no, it looked like RP of 4. He was, for real? And I'm like, yeah, go to 315. He was like, no, I don't know about that. Then I'm going to stay at 275. Bro, I ain't never been so mad. Like, it took all I had in me to not backhand this little kid. So, I, like, literally.
Bro, it felt heavier than it looked.
Well, yeah, it always but that, and the thing is, it's great to have people around you. Like, if you're not going to hold yourself accountable, it's great to have a good, like, lifting group with you. Mm. To basically hold you accountable and basically be your eyes, because the weight's gonna feel heavier. Like I've been squatting before and I get to 500 pounds, my damn, that felt kind of heavy. But 500 pounds is 500 pounds. Like it's never gonna feel like a feather. Like it's still it's weight. So it's if unless you're gonna record yourself or have people around you to tell you like nah, like dude, that move good.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if I wasn't around you guys. I probably would have done 275 for my 4x4.
He definitely would have because he literally looked at the video and legit thought it was an RP of 7. And literally, if you see the video of 315, the video of 315 didn't even look hard either. Like, he did it for another two sets. And he was going to stay at 275 for the rest. But just having the people around him to literally look at it and be like, no, dude, like, it moved well. Because you get in your own head at some point. Like, at some point, you're going to do a weight and be like, man, that felt heavy. I felt like I squatted a little bit high. I felt like I did this. I felt like I did that. But then, like, you look at video or, like, you ask
That's
one of your boys.
Record yourself.
Wait, always record yourself. And they always have, like, your boys look over the recording if you can. Or if you have a coach, keep your coach updated.
Communication
is the biggest thing because I know with Garrett, like, I'm usually in person with my clients, but Garrett has a lot of online clients and a lot of clients that he has to text and stuff. Man, so the biggest thing, especially if you want to progress the way you want to, try not to wait until the end of your session to send your coach videos. If your coach is usually around the phone, which Garrett usually is, or like even like people like Joey Flex talk about this stuff, record a set, send it to him, like, hey, how does this look? And your coach is going to get back to you quick, like communicate. Yeah. Because if not, like let's say we weren't there and Foodie didn't text his coach Mikey and he just did 275 for the whole thing and then he sent Mikey the videos. Like, I don't know Mikey, but if I'm Mikey, I'm looking at the video like, hey, yo, like, that wasn't RP of 7. Like, what you doing? Like you,
bro.
Like you super
I probably
would have
just said solid.
Bro, I feel like, I feel like if you have to, this is me personally, I feel like if you have to ask, should I go up or not, you usually probably should, because, like, if it's too heavy, you're going to know it's too heavy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, if I'm about to send a video, hey, Brandon, how's this look? I'm like, dude, let me think. Yeah, let me just go up.
I just go up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, bro.
I mean, I'm not like that.
Well, everybody, I mean, especially in powerlifting, you're built different.
Bro, in powerlifting, bro, the weight will let you know. Like, there's been times I'll be, oh, I'm going to do this on deadlift, and then I feel like I'm going to poop myself. No, if you don't feel like you're about to poop yourself, you probably...
Well, yesterday, I didn't even ask him. I just loaded a 315 and left it for him. I was like, bro, I'm not taking this shit off. So either you're going to do this weight or you're going to unload all this shit yourself.
And the good thing about that is that also knowing you're your welcome. Training partner, because you have to know the people you train with. Like if we know Foodie can't do that, we're not going to be the people that put 315 on the bar and be like, do it.
And then have them fail. They're probably just going to be like...
Bro, we should. You know what we should talk about?
Yeah, what?
Dude, we should talk about that fat ass thing.
No,
no, dude, that's just so funny.
Why would you even bring that up?
Fat ass. I was thinking about that.
But anyway,
fat ass.
Bro, let's get back on topic.
My bad.
But anyway, the thing is, have someone to hold you accountable, and make if you're not gonna hold yourself accountable, make sure you surround yourself with people that will hold you accountable. Because if not, then you're just gonna be doing subpar lifts.
Oh shit!
Sorry.
Hey, badass.
Sorry. It's Garrett.
Oh, dude, that shit was so funny.
I'm gonna just look at Brandon now. I'm not gonna look at him. He doesn't exist.
As I was saying,
this is my bad.
Have people to hold you accountable if you're not gonna hold yourself accountable. Because if not, then you're gonna stay subpar. You're gonna be subpar lifts. You're gonna undershoot RPEs, and you're not gonna reach where you want to reach. Like, it's the point of if you want to lift heavy. If you want to run fast. You got to put yourself in those situations. Bro. And Garrett's really pissed me off right now. Not
dude,
like, lie.
I'm sorry, bro. He's laughing. I'm looking at him.
I'm not laughing.
All right, my bad.
I'm really not laughing.
My bad.
Y'all got any intake on the topic since y'all want to laugh like Garrett? I feel like I'm the oldest. Like, Garrett's the oldest one here. I don't know if you guys can tell. I mean, he looks 35.
Yeah.
Well,
that shit was so
Hunter's
funny.
The oldest one here.
My bad. Oh, man.
Garrett's the oldest one on camera right now. Shout out to the boy Hunter.
I got some topics for you, bro. Sorry, you finish your sentence.
No, I'm finished. I wasn't able to finish my sentence.
Alright, I'll put in something.
My bad. I heard it in the voice. Made me laugh.
I feel like communication is, like, the biggest thing, and that's where some people don't get the most out of their coach. Like, mm-hmm. you two, it's, like, communication... is not going to be a problem because you guys are really, really close friends. Like, but some people aren't, like, best friends with their coach. Like, if you are, I feel like that's, like, the best thing mm-hmm. because you're really, really comfortable with them. And, like, you probably tell them shit that, like, you wouldn't tell other people. Like,
yeah.
So, like, you telling, like, you're not going to shy away from saying, yo, I feel like shit today. Like, this is so heavy. But someone that who's not close to their coach or not comfortable in a sense, they'd be like, if I tell him I'm not like I feel like shit today, what if he thinks like I'm not strong enough, or maybe this should feel strong, like maybe I shouldn't be feeling this way, and you get in your own head.
Yeah.
But like that's the thing, you just literally, like, to get the most out of any coach, you have to be comfortable to, like, communicate everything.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to, like, think, oh, what if he thinks this about me or some shit? Because that's when everything's just gonna bite you in the ass.
Because as coaches, we're put in situations to where we have multiple variations of different exercises. We have multiple ways to adjust your program, but we can't do that if we don't know.
Yeah.
So we can't get to the point where it's like, okay, you had a subpar lift and you're like, hey, like, this hurts, this feels weird after the fact, and we're like, oh, then why didn't you tell us? Like, instead of doing SSB squats, we could have did heel elevated goblet squats, we could have did this, we could have did that, we could have cut that out, we could have added this. But if we don't know, we're just gonna assume that everything's okay until it's not.
Yeah.
And don't let it get to the point to where you hurt yourself, or to the point to where you have a bad lift, or you go backwards and we can't fix it because you already did it.
Yeah.
Like, we can't fix your injury. If you go into a gym and you feel like, oh, well, this feels kind of tweaked, but I'm just going to push through it, I'm not going to tell coach.
Yeah.
And then you pull something or something pops, and now you're set back 6 weeks. We couldn't do anything about that because we had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, you had to let us know, and we'll be like, hey, take a day off. Or, hey, how about instead of doing this, you do that? Like, we can't do that for you if you don't communicate, if you don't send us a text, if you don't even just be like, hey, I'm not feeling all that great today, so I'm going to adjust. Like, with Garrett and I, we're both coaches. and we both coach each other. So there's times where Garrett will program me something, he's not there, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I don't really feel great today, so I'm going to adjust this, and I'll let him know. Because, I mean, we have the knowledge in order to do that. But most of the time, that's not the situation. Most of the time, you have just a lifter trying to focus on his lifts, and the coach has to focus on that.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you don't give us the opportunity to help you, then how are you going to get the best out of your own body? Because you can only push yourself so far without having to look to someone else for at least like a little boost or at least just some help.
Yeah.
Like you pay, like either you're paying us or you trust us to the point to write you a program. So why not trust us enough in order to help you through the program? Like we're, I'm not just gonna have a piece of paper and be like, okay, boom, here you go, here's for a month, and then I'll see you in a month. Like, I'm not gonna write a program, but I'll see you in a month. Like no.
Yeah, so I agree. So I'm going to add on, too, because I know you just got pissed at me, too, for laughing.
Yeah, thank you. Lock in, please.
I'm locked in, bro. I'm locked in. I think communication is big, too. So kind of touched on one of the topics we talked about last time. You know, like, we kind of talked about, hey, like, it's better to have quality over quantity when it comes in terms of, like, the clients and shit, too. I know we talked about it with your boy. I think right now online I have five people, five or six. Yeah, I capped it at, like, five or six because I want to make sure I'm, like, even five or six. Huh?
Really? I didn't know that. I thought you only had...
More or less. I got a few. But I capped it at a set number, too, so I could have more, like, one-on-one interaction. Because I'm friends with everybody I coach, you know? So I try to keep it that way. Because if I start going more than that, the kind of the quality of, like, my coaching goes down, too. Because, you know, cause I always focus on everything. Because I'm getting questions from each of them the other day, too. Mm-hmm. I think the point you talked about, the communication is big. I'm going to go into some examples about my, I guess, my athletes, clients. They're not going to care. I'm not going to name names because they're all my boys. One of them... Yeah, so about injuries and stuff too, I know one of my boys, I talked to him the other day, and I was like, hey man, like, we're coming off a deload, like, how do you feel, you know? Because he's some of his squat variations, he has front squats, you know? And he tends to dive bomb his front squats, and I was like, he told me, he's like, oh, well, actually, I've been having some, like, slight knee pain and some, like, tendonitis and some elbow stuff. And I'm like, hey, like, I hope you would have told me that, you know? Because, like, I know it's been going on for, like, a day or two now, you haven't really told me, you know? And that communication is a big thing too, because, like, what if it keeps going on? I leave in the front squats. I leave whatever is kind of bothering his knee. Doesn't tell me. And then it gets worse, you know?
Yeah.
And another thing I think you mentioned about, like, kind of, like, trusting the process. And, like, I had this other boy. I'm just going to throw all my clients under the bus, too. One of my other boys, I was doing his – I'm doing his programming right now, too. His main emphasis is kind of, like, getting a bigger bench, which is kind of, like, the bro thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
He's chasing that bench goal. And one of the things he asked me to make my program. I was like, all right, I got you. The first week, it's, like, 60%. So it's, like, super light, you know? It's like 165, which is like, what, a 45 and a 10 on the side?
And a 5.
Yeah. So it's like...
No, because that's what I do.
Okay, sorry. But like for me and you, like me and Brandon, so like if we're going to bench and I give you 165, you know, what's your first impression?
What the fuck is this?
If I say you got 165 on bench today.
What the fuck is this bitchy shit, boy? I'm back down. I'm small.
I'm going to accidentally misread the program.
But yeah.
335.
Yeah. But he came down and he talked to me. He was like, hey, man, like, listen, like... I'm better than this. I think 165 is too light, you know? Like, I don't want to do this for, like... I'm like, hey, listen, bro. Listen. You came to me because you asked for help because obviously you haven't got to where you want to be yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, not only are you my boy, but you're also not my client. So I'm taking my time to help you, regardless if you pay or not, too. So I'm taking my time to do this, so I need you to fully, like, invest and kind of trust in the process, too, you know? If not, you're wasting my time, your time. Because at the end of the day, like, you can do whatever you want. You can go on your own. Because, I mean, you're paying me to help you, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to listen to what I'm telling you and, like, not fully, like, commit in, you're the only one that's going to lose. You're going to lose money and you're not going to hit the goals you want, you know? So a big thing about communication, I explained to him, I was like, hey, bro, listen. I need you to, one, drop the ego. The topic we touched on another time.
Boom.
Drop the ego. I know you're strong. I know 165 ain't ever feel like this before. But you have to just trust what I'm saying, too. It's not like I'm saying, hey, you got, like, three reps at 165. Sets of eight, pause, full, like, perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So a big thing comes down to your coach, too. So you need to be close to the coach, like you talked about, communication.
Yeah.
You need to trust them, too. Like, I've had experiences before. Like, I'm like, hey, like, I don't want to tell them I feel like shit today. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want them to be open because they might think I'm weak, like you said. They might adjust my program to something I don't want. So I need you need to have that relationship. Be like, hey, man, this is how I feel. And you need to be very, like, empathetic with them, too. You know, be like, hey, I understand why you feel this way. Because everybody's, like, it's like that whole, like, psychology of lifting, too. But everybody's built different. Everybody thinks differently. No matter, like, the way I think, the way you think, and even the way Brandon thinks, even though we all think similar, we don't think the same, you know?
Yeah, man.
I look at,
completely different
thing. All built different. Yeah. So I think about, so I even when I talk to Brandon, like if I tell him something and he tells me something, we might interpret the same thing two different ways based on how we think, you know? I might take it, he might, me or him, one of us might take it the wrong way, one might take it just totally fine, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of have to know the person and be willing to kind of adjust what you say and how you react around them too, you know? Because I was talking to him, I was like, listen, bro, like, I was cool about it, chill. I was like, hey, I know it's light, I know it's easy, but that's the whole point of week one. We want to start light, have it go smooth, super easy, you know what I'm saying?
This thing of quality over quantity, it's going to take you really far.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take
That's everything in life. That's what it's looking to. Yeah. That's quality of your relationships, business, products, whatever you do.
That quality. Even when you said, like, week one to start life, like start light, trust the process. And that's a really big thing, especially if, because as trainers, you know, we have the different, we have the mesocycles and microcycles and stuff. Like, we have different cycles to where we set it up to where it's going to be like, you're going to progressively get better. So don't fuck up week four by trying to push week one.
Yeah.
Like,
stay in the pocket.
Yeah, stay in the pocket. Like week one, we're going to have, okay, let's say 165.
Yeah.
But by week four, we expect you to do 285 or 315.
Shit ramps up real quickly.
For a certain amount of numbers. But then on week two, you decided, oh no, I feel good this week, so I'm going to do 315 this week. And then you have a slight little pec problem or a slight little shoulder problem. And next thing you know, week four turns into a deload week because you messed up in week two.
Yeah.
So it's like, just trust the build up, trust the process, and don't be such in a rush to reach a number, because you're not going to go from squatting 405 to squatting 600 in a week or 2 weeks.
Yep. Yeah.
No, it's a build up. It might take weeks, might take months, it might take 2 years. Some people, they stay in the same spot for a year.
Yeah, that's all.
In order to get through, like, dude, powerlifting, lifting, life, it's a process. You have years in your life, you have weeks in your life. It's a process, step by step by step. Don't try to skip a step and roll your ankle and fall down four. Like, make sure you be precise and stick to the program. Just stick to the process.
I don't know if you've ever done this before, but, like, I know, like, I kind of like the, I guess, not with you, but, like, other people, like, clients, I like to kind of, like, test their egos. So, like, I'll purposely, like, give them, like, that sounds kind of weird, you know? But I want to see, like, how much they want to, like, how much, I want to see how much, like, are they going to be willing to trust me and buy into the process? Because at the end of the day, like, if you could do this yourself, if you knew the right answers, you wouldn't have need my help, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, hey, like, listen, you bench 405. I'm going to give you sets 185 this week, super light. And I'm going to see if you can actually listen to me and trust me, do it. And I know, like, if you go off program, then I know you just don't, I might drop you first week, you know? I kind of like to test where they are mentally, too. It kind of depends on the individual, you know? Like, I'll be like, hey, I'll talk to them. But if they don't want to buy in, they're not going to listen to what I just say, not trust me, I'm just going to be like, hey, we're not going to work out for each
other. That's where a lot of, like, coaching athlete goes south.
That's why I limited it at five people. I was like, I don't want so many fucking people I can't
Everyone, trust. Like, they, like, a lot of the good coaches, they always have a cap. And they have a cap for a reason.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if any coaches are listening to us, like, we're young coaches, but, like, we know what we're talking about.
I guess.
If you're a coach,
if
you're a coach and you're listening to us, value your time. Because your time is worth a lot. Don't spend extra time that you don't have to trying to beat into someone's stubborn head, like, your ideals. If they're not willing to listen to you, if they're not willing to actually try and go out of their way to be better because you're spending your time to make them better, then I'm sorry, fuck them. Like, I've said this multiple times, you just got to drop people that don't, like, waste your time. Because time is valuable, we don't have a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if you're having a headache and you're stressing out because this one client is just being stubborn and not listening to you, then they don't want it bad enough. Because if they went out of their way to hire you and they don't trust you, they don't trust your process, they can do the same thing with another coach.
Huh? What the fuck goes through their head? Like, I'm going to hire this person, but not believe.
And that's the thing. It's like, us as coaches, we have your, like, us as coaches and us, even as, like, athletes and stuff, we have your best interest in mind. Like, we're not going to do something for you that benefits us. Like, we're not going to be, okay, well, you know, we're going to have him bench this much because this makes me look better. Like, no, we're trying to help you out because your progress is a reflection off us. Like, you get hurt makes us look bad. if you don't hit a number that you wanted to hit, it makes us look bad. So we try to push you to be the best you can be, because it helps everybody.
Amen.
And if you're too stubborn to trust the process, you're too stubborn to listen to the program, you're too stubborn to actually watch a video and know when to push yourself, then sorry, this is not your thing. Go, if you want to be a control freak, start your own fucking business. Go ahead, go do that. But I'm not gonna waste my time. I'm not gonna be that freaking stressed out over you.
That's random.
Because I'm tired. Like, I have other people to worry about.
Brandon, yeah. What the fuck are you so mad for?
Yeah. I don't know. You're so mad, bro.
Yeah, bro. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah.
I'm
so
I'm very passionate about
passion.
This.
Yeah, passion. The point of that too, like, I think this goes back to the conversation. Let's go back to the conversation we had about your boy too. Like, we're talking about, hey, like, you need to kind of like, you need to make yourself a priority too. And like, when he's like, even because he has like the in-person clients too, you know, like, you can drop a few, like, you know, like, it's not the end of the world, like, you're not, yeah, get on his ass. But like, listen, like, dude, if I have a client at the end of the day, you can care about him as much as you want, whether it be like in personal training or in powerlifting programming too. If they're not gonna trust you, they're kind of wasting your time. Give them a second, let them see if they adjust to it or they don't, and then just part ways. Same, like, that's like. It's like just like life stuff, like relationships, anything.
And we're not saying just drop them immediately. Have a conversation with them.
Communication.
We're not just saying, but, hey, you don't want to listen to me? Get out. Listen, I'm doing this for a reason. Like, I believe in you. Blah, 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 blah. And then if they still listen to all that and say, all right, whatever, and do their own thing, then
I heard Bryce. I think it was Bryce Lewis. I don't know. It was one of these coaches. He said that, like, if an athlete drops me without coming to me and telling me, like, why he wants to drop him and, like, explain the reasoning and, like, trying to get their what he's doing better, then he was like, then I don't really care. Like, he was like, if my athlete isn't going to, like, come up to me, he doesn't care enough to come up to me and, like, try to, like, better what he's doing then or what I'm doing, then I honestly don't care.
And at the end of the day, if you're that athlete, you're going to run into the same problem with any coach you pick up.
Yeah.
So it's like, at the end of the day, you're wasting your own money. Right. You're wasting your own time. Because you're just going to jump coach from coach, and every single coach, unless the coach has the time on his hands to stress out about you, you're just going to keep getting dropped over and over again, and you're going to be the problem.
I think a lot of people, athletes, need to know, because this is something that I, like, before Mikey, I think I had, like, 3 coaches, and they were all, like, in the span of, like, fucking 4 months.
Damn, but, really?
Yeah.
Who?
It was...
Should Ryan, you had 2 people.
This other guy.
Oh. So the guy that helps.
Yeah. But, like, the thing is, even as an athlete, you have to be really, really patient, because it takes a while for your coach to understand your body. Like, it takes...
That's a big thing, too.
Yeah, it takes, like...
That's
like,
a huge thing.
Yeah,
I didn't tell
like,
you that.
Like, for example, like I said, like, a bunch of my meets got canceled, but Mikey still wanted me to do a mock meet. And I asked him straight up, I was like, why do you want me to do a mock meet? Because I honestly don't want to do it. I was like, because there's, like, no point of me doing it. Like, I already hit PRs, like, training sub-max. Like, I don't need to, like, hit a mock meet to, like, know that I'm getting stronger. And then he told me straight up, he was like, this is, like, an opportunity. Like, I think this is a perfect opportunity to, like, learn, like, your body and how, like, you respond to the taper. So next time when we actually step on the platform, I know what to change and what to do that, like, what to change and, like, how to adjust your taper. And yeah, it's just,
yeah, that's
like
smart.
Yeah,
because
I was listening to so if you listen to, like, any Westside guys, like Suede Burns, he said like something very similar to that. What?
You said Suede Burns and we all just looked at each other.
Whatever. Same shit, but sorry. But if you listen to any of the Westside guys, like, they literally had a podcast in Table Talk, and he literally said, as a coach, we're taking the first mesocycle to understand and learn the athlete. So it's like, so because he was saying the difference between, like, a 4-week program, a 16-week program, and, like, a couple month program, and he was like, 4-week programs don't really do much because we take the first 4 weeks to figure out how you respond to different workouts, how you respond, and how you are as an athlete.
Yeah.
So if you sign up for a 4-week program, I mean, you might make some progress, but we don't know you yet as a person. We don't know you as an athlete in order to test your boundaries and push you, because we're still learning you. Like, you're not going to walk, like, unless you're, like, a good friend, like, Garrett and I, we knew each other before we started coaching each other, so we could be trained with each other so we could see how we work with. if you're just another, like, an online client that reaches out to me or online client that reaches out to Garrett or something like that, we don't know you. Like, we're still trying to learn you. So it's like, give us the time to learn you, work through it, communicate with us.
And this
process, we could build a rapport.
Yeah, this process takes a long time.
A long time.
Like, some people, like, expect it to be, like, over in, like, a month. Or, like you said, like, a four-week cycle. But, like, in reality, bro, it's not going to be a four-week cycle. For an athlete, for a coach to actually, like, know exactly, like, how the athlete's going to respond, like, even mentally and, in every way, like, I think it at least takes 6 months.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of like even like in a relationship, you're not going to talk to someone for 2 weeks and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to get married.
Yeah.
No, like, you're not going to commit to something long-term until you actually sit down and get to know this person.
And then after a while, when you come...
Damn, dude, just cut him off again.
No, this is good.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Continue.
Look at you like, you want to kill your ass. my bad.
No, I like the back and forth. This is why we have a podcast. Let's talk.
Fucking idiot.
Dude. He looked over at
this child.
Who?
God, I
totally forgot. Talk, come on, bro.
I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Oh my god.
We hit 30 minutes again, so do you want
to... Words.
Pause.
Yeah.
Be great.
Yeah.
Clap.
All right, guys, we're back after a quick break. So the next thing we're talking about is mentality when it comes to lifting, too. So we're going to start with Foodie. I kind of want to see, like, your mentality when it comes, like, how do you approach a lift? Which kind of lift is kind of, like, the most intimidating for you and why? And who are kind of, like, your favorite training partners? It's a lot to break down, but
yeah,
stay with me.
Training partners, definitely, obviously, you two and Adam. Like, definitely.
Yeah.
And, but, like, mainly, like, out of you three, it'd probably be Garrett. And,
Nice.
Only because, okay, so, out of all my lifts, the one that kind of, like, psychs me out the most is deadlift. Even though that's my best lift. Because, like, I just, I failed a couple times, and it just, like, messes with my head. And, like, overall, like, I feel like that leads on to, like, my other lifts. Like, I'm just like, oh, like, damn, like, I feel weak today. Like, I'm weak or whatever. And, like, Garrett's, like, I think it was this week. He literally came up to me. He was like, listen. He was like, if you have the same mentality that you're going to have, you're literally going to do the, like, you're going to perform like shit on meat day. He was like, if you need to change your mentality. Like, the reason why I like Garrett the most is because he literally comes up to me and tells me exactly what I don't want to hear. And like,
damn, I am kind of a dick.
Yeah, but like in a way, it's really beneficial.
Thank you.
Like it's like it helps me a lot. And like Brandon and Adam, they just fucking put me in place.
Yeah.
Because it's always. I think, would you guys say I undershoot?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. You and Adam both undershoot.
Like on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Majority.
Yeah. Well, like, the days that you either you, like, undershoot or you overshoot too much.
Same, 385 squat from Monday. I don't know if you guys remember. But yeah. Would you guys say that was overshoot?
I don't think I saw it.
Okay. So, if we're going to break down you and Adam. You overthink. Adam just doesn't know how strong he is.
That's true.
Because you two are both kind of similar boats. You have to do more weight than you usually do. But you'll do a weight thinking it moves slower than it actually did. And then overthink. But no, I'm going to cut it off. Or you'll do something and be like, oh, no, I'm just going to cut it off there.
Yeah, that
but,
kicks my ass mentally.
Yeah. And then Adam goes in there and he thinks that he's weaker than he is because he never really tests himself. So he'll pull something and be like, oh, yeah, I think I'm good. And be like, no, I actually move really fast. And he's like, oh, I don't know.
And it's especially sumo deadlifts, you're really slow off the floor. So if mentally when you start pulling that bar and you think that this isn't going to move, you're like, oh, this isn't going to move, that bar will literally not move. Cause like for me, like it takes like when the weight gets pretty heavy, like I'm, like it's like 3 seconds, like two to three seconds where I'm pulling, and if in my head I'm like, I'm thinking about my last warm up, like regardless, it's just not gonna move because I'm gonna be focused on everything but actually pulling. Like I'm pulling, but I'm not actually pulling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like that's why deadlifts kind of. Like, it's, like, the one lift that entices me the most, but it's, like, also my best lift. Like, I deadlift a lot more than, like, I squat.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's just, like, I'm also getting really, really, I'm getting better at it. And it's like thanks to my training partners that really like helped me like not overthink stuff. Because if I was training alone, oh my fucking god, it'd be a disaster. Like it'd be really bad because like I see like things like on like Instagram, I see someone pull like this and they're a lot stronger, and I'm just like, you know what, let me try doing that. And like they get their hips in this position and I'm just like, if they can do it, I can probably do it. But like I can't, because like my anatomy, like my hips are just not built like that. Like I can't get, like my hip sockets are not built like that to where I can get in that kind of position. But like I think like, but and then like there's things that work for me, but I don't think they work for me. And then you guys are there to like really put me in place, saying that like this has been working for you for so long. Like you've paused 505 with this technique. Why the fuck are you trying to change your technique?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
that's good. That's a good answer. All right, I guess we'll go on to Brandon. Brandon, so kind of give us a. I know obviously we talked about it before, but mm-hmm. give us a brief insight to your mentality when you approach a lift. The lift that intimidates you most, which I think I can guess. And your favorite training partners and why?
Is it bench?
Yeah, asshole. I guess we'll go to the first question. Mentality. So, I talked about this multiple times on the podcast. I have a sports background. So, I don't want to sound like cocky or anything, but it's more like that dog mentality.
Yeah.
It's like I walk around thinking I'm the best person to ever step into the gym. I'm like the best person to do this lift. I'm going to give all I got, and I'm gonna make it move.
You're also a D1 athlete.
Yeah,
so like you're not just
I was
regular
back in
athlete.
His day.
I was a Division 1 baseball player, which literally I've been competing all my life. So I guess I'm just used to, just walking around like strutting your stuff and like walk the walk, talk the talk. Like I don't talk a lot of shit, but like
it's in your head.
Yeah, it's in my head. Like I talk shit to myself.
Yeah.
So that's been like my biggest thing, because I mean. That's how my mentality is.
Performing under
and,
pressure.
Yeah, and a lot of people tell me, I didn't really notice that until my last meet. A lot of people have told me that I am very good. I'm very different on competition day, on meet day, or when I have a really big lift versus like normally going through, because I guess I step up to the plate, a baseball term. But like my 765 for 2. I had that on my mind all day. I'm talking shit to myself all day. And it moved way faster than I thought it would, because I guess I just performed under pressure. I failed 770 in the gym and then got 782 at the meet, because all the eyes I had on me, my dad was there, the pressure was going to me, and I just had that mentality to push myself through that. But if we go to the obvious question, what lift intimidates me the most is bench, because I just started actually like working on bench in May.
Really?
Baseball.
They don't make you bench in baseball?
In baseball, we don't do barbell bench. We do dumbbell single arm bench. We do a lot of shoulder workouts.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, in baseball, our baseball lifts were, you do high bar squats, you do trap bar deadlifts, you do front squats, and you do dumbbell shoulder, you do dumbbell bench press, single arm, and a lot of shoulder mobility and a lot of band work.
Damn.
So I never officially started working on bench until I stopped playing baseball.
It's like the complete opposite of Jake.
Yeah. So that was my background. And I never, I always trap bar deadlift a lot, but I never did straight bar until, like, I just started doing sumo in late June.
It's so crazy how, like, early, I mean, how, like, you just started.
I did trap bar deadlifts. That I did conventional from December until June, and then I watched some video. I don't remember what video. I watched some video on YouTube, and they're like, "Oh, if you're built like this, you probably try sumo." And I remember texting Garrett, "Hey, I'm gonna try sumo this weekend," and then I pulled 700.
Yeah, I got a text. I was still chasing that notorious 700-pound goal. He's like, "Man, I'm gonna try out sumo. I'm gonna see how I like it." You know. The worst sumo I've ever seen in my life, but he was like, I just pulled 700 casually.
Yeah, like it was crazy. Like, it was a wide stance, straight leg. My hip shot up.
Straight
leg, basically just,
RDL.
I basically wide stance RDL to 700 pounds, and then I started working on
built different
my deadlift and stuff. But going back to bench, yeah, bench has always been something very tedious, because bench is a very mechanical lift. especially in powerlifting, there's so many things that have to go right in order for your bench to go up. Because I feel like there's a lot of technique, like bar path and everything.
But I think the most technical is deadlift. Definitely deadlift.
No, it's definitely deadlift. But
sumo.
But coming from me personally, from not benching at all, yeah. Bench was a lot to learn. Like, I had the general understanding of deadlifts, had the general understanding of squats, had the high bar, so switching a low bar wasn't that bad. It was just the range of motion.
I think it's hard to realize, too, like, I know, like, we're, like, so deep in, like, the powerlifting world, but your bench, like, is still really good for a normal person, you know? Which is still, like,
yeah, like, if you walk up to a random person, like, yeah.
Like, they see, if somebody, if you go to, like, a normal commercial gym, they see your bench, all eyes are they're gonna be like, holy fuck, this kid's strong as fuck. I mean, it's just, like, relative, because when you have, like, 600-pound benchers, like Jake and Blake, it's tough. Everything just seems, like, less, you know?
Yeah, the fucking
eggs. It's all, like, it's all relative. Like, relatively, like, you're strong as fuck compared to, like, the average world on bench, you know?
We all are.
Yeah, we all are.
All right, that's true.
Like, because all, like, my friends that don't powerlift, and, like, sometimes when they're just, they just think, oh, you're so strong, but, like, they think I'm strong from the outside, but they're not in the sport, so they don't know that there's, like, people, like, I'm not actually not that strong, like, compared to, like, a lot of people.
Bench is the one that intimidates me the most, for obvious reasons. And then, I guess the workout partner that pushes me the most, other than myself, because I'm very self-driven, is, I mean, the closest person to my weight class, which is Garrett, because I don't work out with Jake all the time. Like, I work out with Jake on Saturdays, so he's not really, because he has his own job where he works throughout the day, so it's like Jake's in my weight class, and if he was working out with me every day, it'd probably be Jake. But the thing with Garrett, the thing with Garrett is that we're both assholes and we're both trying to be better than each other. So it's like, even like a funny story. So literally yesterday, I was doing Penle rows, and
that was just happy, bro.
I had a 2x7 and Garrett had a 3x8, and I did mine first, and he was basically talking shit the whole time. I'm doing 135 to warm up, and he goes, oh damn, that's pussy shit. I'm just built different. So I got pissed. So I put 185, and then he was like, damn. He's like, damn, that sucks. I'm about to do 250. So then I go up 225, did that for my first set, and then I put on another 10. And it was just like back and forth. And then when I finished, he had to do his. So he was like, all right, I can't let Brandon beat me. So I'm out here talking shit. So like, we used to fight off each other. And I could do that a lot because we're very close, like strength-wise, when it comes to the majority of the lifts other than bench. Like, well, my deadlift's higher than but my deadlift is like, that's my thing.
I have a question.
Yeah.
That the mentality thing that you were speaking of, that you said that it comes from baseball or whatever.
Huh?
Do you think that anyone can get that mentality, or do you think it's something?
That's a good ass question.
Or do you think that it's something that people are just like,
damn, pretty
born with as a kid,
dropping bombs?
I mean, that kind of goes like, it's kind of like a nature versus nurture question. It's like it doesn't really have an answer, but I feel like it could be developed if you put yourself in those situations. Like, if you're always in your comfort zone, you're always, like, doing, like, lifting by yourself and stuff, no, you're not going to get that dog mentality because you don't have any competition. You're not putting yourself in the situation to where you can fail and it will affect you. Like when it comes to a sport, like, especially baseball, baseball is an individual, is a team sport built by many individuals. So you go up to bat, and what you do individually is good for you, but it could also cause your team a loss. So you have to be able to have that mentality, but nah, fuck this pitcher, I'm up here, I'm gonna do this.
Like, also, in, like, speaking, like, in powerlifting terms, like, on meet day, there's some people that, like, the slightest thing will throw them off. Like, literally the slightest thing will throw them off. Like, I don't know, like, they don't have their headphones, or they're using a different bar than what you use in the gym, or a different pad, like, they're not using a fat pad. But, like, for some people, it's, like, none of that shit matters.
Mm.
Like, for example, like, I'm going to take my coach example. Like, 2019, Ron Atz, I don't know if you know this, but he weighed in, I think, like, 10, like, a minute right before they close in weigh-ins.
Mm.
Because, like, he weighed in exactly at 104.99. So he almost didn't make his weight. So he had, I think, like, 5 or 10 minutes to rehydrate, to warm up, to do all of that.
Mm.
And he still came in and did second. He still came in and he played second. He squatted when he probably wasn't, like, his body weight wasn't as, like, how it should have been. But he still came in and he played second. And I feel like for some people, like, and that would throw them off. And I feel like it's really the mentality that, because like for him it was just like, fuck it, like I don't care, like I'm gonna win regardless. But for some people, even if the slightest thing goes off, they're just like, oh no, now I can't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's also a big personality thing as well.
Yeah, so that's kind of what my question was.
Because my personality, personally, I'm very outgoing and I'm very competitive. So even like, let's take my meet for example with the bench situation. Yeah. The handoff threw me off, and then I didn't take a third attempt, and I still totaled like 1800.
Yeah,
it's like there is, you won't have that mentality, you won't be able to do those sort of things if you don't put yourself in a situation to where if you fail, it won't just affect you.
So you think, like, there's a way to like change someone's personality to make that like?
There's a way to change someone's mindset to give them a dog mentality, but they have to put themselves in those situations. You have to be able to be willing to put yourself out of the comfort zone.
Because I'll say it straight up, I don't think I have the dog mentality.
Because the thing is, you haven't been able to put yourself in a situation
like
to where this is like,
yeah.
Because a lot of people have a situation in the gym where it's like, oh, if I fail this, I mean, it's whatever. I wouldn't say I'm very prideful, but I'm just very...
Yeah.
I'm very hard on myself to the point where it's like, no, like I don't give a fuck what you guys think. I don't care what people say on Instagram, but I'm going to do me.
Is that battery?
Yeah, but it's fine.
Yeah.
So basically, I feel like if you just put yourself in a situation to where you can create that mentality, I feel like anybody can have it.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact of getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Damn, that was a good ass speech.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like the yeah. slightest. Oh, never mind. You go.
I was gonna say only Garrett.
That's my turn.
Yeah. You go.
Okay. Some question. Oh, this is gonna be a good one. Okay. So I guess mentality. I guess it's changed over the years. This will kind of touch on exactly what you said too about kind of changing the environment. So I think I'm trying to talk directly in here and talk to you guys. So I do not think everybody has that dog mentality. I do think some people have it and don't know. It just kind of comes down to the environment they put themselves into. So like example, foodie. You may never have been that competitive, never had that kind of that mentality Brandon's talking about. But, I mean, if you put yourself in the environment which you have, I mean, the pit's a great environment to push yourself to, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might slowly realize, like, you start changing a little bit, becoming more competitive, pushing yourself a little more.
Yeah.
Which definitely takes time. It's not going to be just a switch,
yeah.
You know? I think my mentality over time has definitely changed. I'm more of I am a calmer lifter, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
yeah.
chill. But I kind of, like, keep it more quiet, too. I kind of have that chip on the shoulder kind of thing too, like
yeah.
I definitely I might not say it, but I go around and kind of want to beat every single person there.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be vocal about it.
Yeah,
but I kind of
me though. Continue.
I don't know. I try to keep stuff inside to motivate me too, especially like days I'm down, days I'm not motivated. I try to remember. I'm like, damn, like Brandon PR'd, he PR'd. I need to like, not against them, but like more like I need to like
yeah.
catch up in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. I think that, like, underdog mentality has always, like, pushed me kind of far when I need to go.
Because
if, like, I guess they say, like, the quote, like, you're always, like, hungrier when you're at the bottom of the mountain versus when you get to the top.
Yeah.
So if you always kind of have the idea, like, hey, like, I'm still at the bottom, that's going to keep you going further rather than, like, versus, like, hey, I made it. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, if you, I guess it comes down to, like, being complacent, being happy
yeah.
where you are. So no matter, like, what goes on versus, like, lifting life. I'd, like, say, like, for you, like, example, I said, after Brandon's meet, I was like, oh, shit, you just broke 1800, right? You had a really good day,
mm-hmm.
regardless of everything that happened. I was like, let's enjoy this W, just this day of Sunday, and then tomorrow we're going to act like it never happened, we're back to work.
Yeah.
It's always good, like, you want to obviously enjoy your wins, you know? But if you get so, like, complacent and stuck on the wins, you're never going to move forward. So, like, hey, enjoy it, tomorrow, brand new, starting over, your total's at zero, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a big thing too, because like even like after I think the most recent PR I had, I can't remember. I mean that 600 squat was nice.
The bench was the most recent one, the 455.
Yeah.
But I was like, dude, like I don't even think about it anymore. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just like, as soon as I hit what I'm done, I'm like, damn, that was nice. You know, I post my Instagram video. Hell yeah, good job. And then I'm just on the next milestone too. No.
Yeah, and I think the environment, like you said, is.
The biggest thing.
Like, for me, it, and I think like a little over a year, I put, I think 420 pounds on my total, like in a year. And obviously with coaching and programming and all that, like, that's aside, but I credit that, like, I credit, like, I'd say at least 40% of that just being the weakest one in the room all the time. Like, I always, like, I honestly like being the weakest person in the room. Because, like, right now in the pit, what the fuck? Right now, like, I'm...
Nature.
Right now at the pit, like, there's, like, I'm probably, like, one of the weakest ones in the room. And, like...
In our group, not
yeah,
in the room.
Yeah, in our group. And it's just, like, it pushes me. And, like, I feel like you need to find, like, the healthy way to, like, look at someone and that, like, inspire you to work harder.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't have it too much to the point where you're constantly comparing yourself
yeah.
mm-hmm. to that person, because then it gets, like, back to, like, it's literally identical yeah. to, like, Instagram clout or whatever.
It's a happy medium.
Yeah, so, like, you have to find that like, sweet spot where it's not, like, whoever you train around has absolutely no impact on you, but whoever you train around also, like, you're not comparing yourself to them at all times.
That's a very, I guess I've kind of touched on that too. I think it's a very, like, controversial thing too. Cause obviously, like, you still want to be better than yourself, you know, like, that
yeah.
you versus you. Like, obviously, I'm still, like, I'm waking up, like, hey, how can I be better today? But I think the competition with your peers, it can be healthy. Like, me and Brandon's competition healthy. Me, everybody else, like, we're healthy, like, we're boys, you know?
Yeah.
But anybody that says they don't want to be stronger than their friends is lying, you know?
Yeah.
Why would you not want to be stronger than your friends? I want to be stronger than everybody I know, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you can obviously have, like, healthy competition. That's something
you're stronger than me, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Whatever.
Continue.
Okay. Yeah. So, don't get caught in the lie. Like, hey, like, if you don't want to beat somebody, then why are you, like, doing the sport, you know? Like, obviously, like, I want to be stronger than me. I want to have a good day. I want to improvement. But I'm not coming out here to compete to stroke my own ego. I'm trying to beat all y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say damn.
Me, though.
Okay. Let me continue the question, too. What was the
who's
next?
Who's your favorite training partner? And
damn, that's tough. Cause I think I have different training partners depending on the lift and the day and the mood I'm in too. So I kind of base my like favorite training partners.
Brandon.
Well, yeah, but let me go on. Just let me finish.
Stop interrupting him, okay?
Yeah.
He has feelings too.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna beat me though.
I think my most competition is my people I'm closest to in lift. So let's say squat. I think obviously my most competition, my best training partner is Brandon, because like we're
ain't gonna be me though.
Ain't gonna fail my third attempt though.
Continue.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so Brandon, obviously on squat, like I'm like, oh shit, I'm squatting Brandon. I gotta beat him today. I think bench, the probably person I'm most close with, Khalil.
Definitely not me though.
Yeah, it's not you. Not you. Khalil. I love going to Khalil.
Another black guy.
Sorry, they might all be.
All right, can you fucking continue? Stop right, cutting I'm off. Sorry, he has sorry. Feelings too.
I'm not sure about deadlift. I think my probably the deadlift would be Brandon too, because I'm like, dude, I gotta catch up because he just kind of suns me on deadlift.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it just depends on the person. Like, obviously, like I love all our training partners, but I want somebody who's gonna A, who's better than me, and B, who's gonna talk shit to me too, because I kind of thrive off the shit talk too. I know I'm kind of calm too, but I like when he talks shit. I like when he like calls me like bitch and shit, you know. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Not like that. But I don't know. I kind of feed all that negativity. Like, I like being kind of angry, even though it's, like, low-key, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the lift that I am most, not intimidated, but, like, struggle with the most would have to be,
deadlift?
I think it would be deadlift, yeah. It's definitely come a long way. It's just been one of those, like, mental lifts, too, you know? Because I think it's, like, my deadlift is always so fucking slow off the ground. And, like, even, like, and now, like, I'm starting to learn. I'm like, dude, like, no matter what, I'm going to be slow. But I'm always going to, like, I know no matter what, it's going to take a few seconds to come off the floor. But I'm just going to see how long it takes from, like, the knees up, you know?
Yeah, it's always
like that. I don't know. Because, like, it's just that mental thing. It's like, damn, like, I'm really going to have to fight 10 seconds to get this shot off the floor, you know?
So deadlift is your most...
Most mental kind of... Yeah. Most... It's definitely my strongest. Like, I just haven't pushed it how I was because it's been so mental.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the one that's came the furthest in terms of, like, mentally changing the way I think about it, you know?
Yeah. I am very proud. I'm a very proud coach. Just seeing him, how he's been growing, how he's been developing, makes me want to cry.
Ain't going to beat me, though.
Still my son, though.
Not on bench.
Anyway, I think that's...
Seeing your guys' coach-athlete relationship from,
yeah.
like, an outside...
Yeah.
It's actually, like, very nice to see.
Nice. But why?
It's like very, very nice to see, like, your guys, like, you guys both, like, both of you guys are progressing, but, like, it's just so, like, I've never heard of it. Like, two people coaching each other.
It's kind of weird. We get a lot of...
Everybody thinks it's so weird.
Met you guys, I was like, who's your coach? And you were like, Garrett. And I asked Garrett, I was like, Garrett, who's your coach? He's like, Brennan. And I was just like...
Brennan?
I was like, what the fuck? And then, like...
Your stepbrother's moment.
You were just going, best friends? Yup.
But, like, so it's working for you guys, and it's working a lot. Honestly, it's working a lot better than I thought it would.
Yeah, we got that a few times too.
Yeah, like it's very.
Like, people like ask and they won't say that, but I can tell by the look on their face they're like idiots.
It's like not even that. It's just that you guys are both growing as athletes as well as coaches just by each other.
Damn.
You know what I mean?
Damn, Fury, that was deep.
That shit
hit different.
And honestly, I think it's because
you guys are both.
Yeah, I think it's because we both. Very open, and we talk to each other.
Like, you guys are
like Garrett would tell me straight up, like, yo, I didn't like that. Like, I didn't like that. That felt weird.
And then I said that about a lot of shit. Actually,
then,
I hate that.
And then I'll be like, yo, I really don't like this variation. Like, that felt weird. And I'll explain to him why. And because we're both very educated, so we explain to each other like in a very fine way, to where it's like, okay, I get that, and we learn from it. It's not just like, yo, I don't like that because my back hurt. And it's like, no, it's like, oh, because like this angle puts me weird in this situation, and I just finished doing this. And it's like, okay, so I won't schedule this on this day. And it's like, it's trial and error. Since we're very open with each other, we're able to adjust, and we work out with each other. So we could literally, like, he literally walk up to me before he lifts and be like, yo, I don't think this is going to be well. Like, I feel kind of weak at the squats, da-da. And we adjust it right there.
It goes right back to communication.
Yep.
And being comfortable with your coach. And since you guys are really close friends, you guys are obviously comfortable with each other and letting each other know. So, like, you guys will probably never have that issue.
Facts. But, yeah, I think that was a good podcast.
Man. I think that was good. I think, what time are we at?
Man, it's like an hour and 23 minutes.
Oh, shit. Hell yeah. So, Foodie, we want to thank you for coming on the podcast, sir. We appreciate
having you. Have a great time.
Thank you for having me.
So, I guess we'll see you on February 20th for your meet.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll come back on. I know Adam said he wants to come on the day after.
Yeah, but
we should all have, like, I really wish Adam was here today.
I wish he was too.
We might have like a little table talk moment after the meet and have everybody that competed here.
Yeah. Adam is the next member of our Noom crew.
But just some housekeeping things. Like, comment, subscribe.
I love that kid.
And we will be back in the future with more. We have some more exciting guests coming up too, so we're happy to bring this to you guys.
Leave reviews if you guys have any questions or anything. Look, our DMs are open. Leave reviews and let us know.
Yeah.
And thank you.
And I think that's it. So, outro.
And yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool.